Merevi Rabosai, as you well know, it's been the custom in our yeshiva for some time to pause the regular learning of the Beis Medrash once a week for 20 minutes, some more, some less, to have a Sichas Musar. Personally, I see this as a time, an opportunity, to find clarity and purpose, to refocus ourselves on what it is we seek to accomplish during the time that we are actively learning. Therefore, I would like to discuss with you a subject which I wholeheartedly feel is one of, if not the most crucial notions necessary to be successful in Limud HaTorah on its highest level here in yeshiva. The pasuk in this week's parasha says, "Vayifka b'amokom v'yolen sham kivo Hashemesh." Yaakov arrived at the place and he slept there, for the sun had set. "Vayikach me'avnei amokom v'yosem mirash osav." He took from the stones of the place and he positioned them about his head. Sounds as though there were many stones, but the following pasuk says, "Vayashkim Yaakov baboker vayikach es ha'even asher sam mirash osav." He took the stone from beneath his head. The implication being that there was only one stone. And Rashi quotes from the Medrash that originally Yaakov took many stones. However, the stones began to quarrel with each other for the privilege of being the one stone upon which Yaakov's head would rest. Immediately, Kadosh Baruch Hu put an end to the machlokes and merged the stones into one. And on a certain level, the meaning of the Medrash is obvious. The argument of the inanimate objects represents the realization that everything in this world was created to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. And these stones understood that their purpose was to serve as a protective pillow around the head of Yaakov Avinu. And they argued with each other out of a desire to fulfill that tafkid. And in order to enable them all to do so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu found it necessary to merge them into one. However, what is puzzling is that if it was necessary to merge the stones into one, why not do so from the very beginning? Why the exercise of first the stones fighting and only then melding them into one? And in addressing this question, if I may, I would like to divert our attention to a seemingly totally unrelated parasha in the Torah, the episode of the Benos Tzlafchad. In Parshas Pinchas, Tzlafchad, as we know, died without sons, but his daughters sought to claim his portion in Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi there explains that they weren't motivated by financial concerns, but out of a pure desire to participate in the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. And they came to Moshe Rabbeinu with a complaint, "Lama yigara shem avinu mitoch mishpachto ki ein lo bein." Why should we lose out because our father died without sons? And strangely enough, Moshe Rabbeinu was dumbstruck. He didn't know what to respond. So he presents their case to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who subsequently instructs him in the heretofore unknown halacha that a daughter does indeed yashin her father if he dies without sons. And it's very troubling. Moshe Rabbeinu, who said about him, "Afilu ma shetalmid vosik osa v'chadesh," even with Talmid HaChacham v'machadesh in later generations, "Kfar nisgal l'Moshe Rabbeinu b'har Sinai," yet this basic halacha he didn't know? And it wasn't the first time. Right before the episode of Benos Tzlafchad in Parshas Pinchas, there's a very similar incident in Baal Oscha, in the Parsha of Pesach Sheni. Those who were Tamei at the time of the Akrabas HaPesach came to Moshe Rabbeinu with the Taina, "Anachnu Tmeim Lenefesh Adam, Lama Nigor Mibilti Hakriv." Why should we be left out? Because we're Tomei. And again, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what to respond. And again, he presents their case to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Yom Tov of Pesach Sheni is unveiled. But very troubling. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know about Pesach Sheni. Masha Talmud Vasek Asa L'Chadish, he knew, but Pesach Sheni he didn't know. And the Midrashim already struggle with this issue. One approach taken in the Medrash is that these halachos were specifically concealed from Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Torah wanted to reveal them in dramatic form. In other words, the Torah is using, kiviyachol, the homiletical technique of the vignette, of a story, to drive home a message. And I do not believe that the message is that the halachos of a daughter yashining her father in the absence of sons, or the particulars of the Pesach Sheni, are so fundamental to Yiddishkeit that they require this type of emphasis. Rather, I believe it is the moral of the story itself. These women were technically free from participating in the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz, and yet they insisted on participating. Those individuals who were tamei at the time of the Pesach Sheni were technically speaking excluded, but they insisted on being included. In both instances, we find the language of Lama Nigara. Why should I lose out? Lose out of what? If a person, let's say, would come to shul on Sukkot without a lulav, and you insist we make a second chance for him another day, or better yet, Sukkot without lulavim, would save us all a lot of money. But we'd laugh him out. A person comes to shul and he wants to duchen, and he goes up to duchen, oh, but he's not a kohen, but he wants to. That's very nice. But what's the difference between these arguments and those that were accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which resulted in the creation of a new Yom Tov and a new halacha in the area of Yerusha? The reason is because their motivation was Lama Nigara. The Torah is teaching to us and accentuating to us in dramatic form this vital lesson, that if a person has a sincere desire to accomplish more, no matter how unrealistic it may seem at the time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him the tools necessary to realize those goals and aspirations. Hidden talents, non-paths that you couldn't see before, will suddenly appear. And that's the lesson of the stones around Yaakov's head as well. All of the stones wanted to be the stone underneath Yaakov's head. But in reality, only one stone could be victorious. It couldn't have two stones there. But the stones persisted, and they ignored the reality, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded them by changing the reality and allowing them all to be victors. And if this yesod is true when it comes to Avodas Hashem in general, it is even more true when it comes to Talmud Torah. The Gemara Maseches Brachos on Daf Nun says that when a person is arranging his wish list of bakashos, he shouldn't ask for too much. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him what he needs, only what he needs, he's going to be disappointed. He's going to feel shortchanged, but I asked for this. Rather, a person should begin with only asking for what he needs. Ask the Gemara, is that so? But we recite every day at the end of Hodu, the Pasuk in Tehillim, Harchav Picha V'Amaleu, open up your mouth and I will fill it. It sounds as though a person could open up his mouth as wide as he wants. He could have grand and extravagant desires. And God guarantees that he'll make it a reality, V'Amaleu. The Gemara settles the contradiction, Hahu B'Divrei Torah K'siv. When is it inappropriate to have extreme requests when it comes to worldly accomplishments? But when it comes to Talmud Torah, that itself is the requirement. We're supposed to have wild dreams, extravagant dreams, because they can become a reality. V'amaleu. If a person wants to learn through all of the Rishonim on a sugya, he can have the skills to do so, even if those Rishonim are not on the Mar Mekomos list. Or if a person's pre-med, he can master all of Hilchas Brachas and Hilchas Kriya Shema, even though there's lab 2 nights a week. I don't know if tonight is one of the nights. Because if a person has a she'ifa, if he has a harchav picha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees there will be va'amaleyu, he will help him to achieve those goals. I remember I was talking to one of my, he was a younger friend, a few years ago, going back a few years, when he was in Eretz Yisrael for the year, he was telling me that he and his friends took a trip to Bnei Brak to buy the Svarim of the Stiper, the Kilos Yaakov. At that time, you had to go to the house to buy them. I don't know if now you can buy them in the stores, but at that time, you had to go to the house. And if you were a Talmud in Eretz Yisrael, if you lived in Eretz Yisrael, they would only sell you the one volume of the Masechta that you happened to be learning at the time. If you lived in Chutz Aris, they would sell you the whole set at once. But if you were from Eretz Yisrael, they'd only sell you the one volume. So he and his friends went to Bnei Brak, and they were discussing along the way which volumes they were going to buy. So this guy said, he's planning on buying the whole set. So some of his friends made fun of him. They said, what are you buying the whole set for? When are you planning on learning Kachem and Taras Be'in? Said in yeshivas, they focus on Nashim and Ezekin. So Moed. So, but Kachem and Taras? So, and after yeshiva, so when are you going to learn? So you're going to Kachem and Taras, Dafyomi. So you're going to learn a Be'in? What do you need the stipler sefer for? And he became discouraged. So when he went back to the yeshiva, he was talking to one of his rabbis about it. And the rabbi told him, no, if you have a desire to learn those mesechtas, Be'in, the opportunity will present itself. And he did. Years later, he learned Kachem Be'in. He is a Baki B'Taras. And these things can happen. If we have a she'ifa to master Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, to become Bekiyim Ba'alacha, these things can happen with one condition. If a person has a she'ifa, if we want them, then it can happen. Perhaps the most striking example of this concept is the Ramban's comments on the Pasuk in Parshas Vayakel dealing with the Binyan HaMishkan. The Pasuk says, Vayavohu ko'ish asher nesa'o libo v'nod v'rucho oso. All those who had a lifting of heart, a moving of spirit, came to participate in the Binyan HaMishkan. Asked the Ramban, why was it necessary to tell us their motivation? Just tell us, they participated. So the Ramban says, because their participation in the Binyan HaMishkan should not have been possible. The Binyan HaMishkan involved many intricate and complicated tasks, skilled labor, carpentry, tailoring, architecture. How did they know how to do all these skills? After all, not so long ago, they were Avodim in Mitzrayim. So the Ramban says that you're right. That's why the Torah includes their motivation. Kol asher nasa libo v'nod v'rucho. How were they able to do these things? Because they wanted to. Because it was nod v'rucho, nasa libo v'nod v'rucho, that's how they were able to. They were able, they were given a siyata d'shmaya to overcome those obstacles because of their desire. And strangely enough, who paraphrases this language of the Pasuk in Parshas Vayakel but the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shemitah v'Yovel? When the Rambam is discussing Talmud Torah, or Sheva Levi, the Rambam says, V'lo Sheva Levi bilvad. Talmud Torah is not reserved for Sheva Levi. El ko'ish v'ish asher nod v'rucho oso. He paraphrases the Lashon of the Pasuk by the Binyan HaMishkan. And I believe it's for this reason. Torah is not reserved for Sheva Levi. Whoever is so inspired, asher nod v'rucho oso, lamod v'nei Hashem, l'sharso, u'la'avdo, l'odasis Hashem, harezin is kadosh, kodesh kadoshim. A person can reach the highest levels of Talmud Torah and Kedusha if he's not v'rucho oso, if he has a desire to accomplish more. Listen, it's very nice. It's very difficult to do that on a regular basis. It's very difficult to always be so inspired. So I'd like to draw our attention to a pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, where Avram Avinu is described as Avram HaIvri. And Rashi quotes in the Medrash, why is he described as Avram HaIvri? Because Kol HaOlam Kulo Me'Ever Echad V'Hu Me'Ever Echad. The whole world was on one side and Avram Avinu was on the other. In what sense? So the Pashup Shad is that this pasuk is stated right before Avram Avinu went to Muhammad with the Dalet Malachim, with the four Malachim. And they represented the Koach of the whole world. They were the four most powerful rulers. And Avram Avinu was about to take them all on by himself. So Kol Ga'olam Kula Me'Ever Echad V'Hu Me'Ever Echad. However, Rav Nevin Sal in his Sefer on Chumash understands that this is even more than that. It wasn't only Kol Ha'olam Kulo, the Koach of the world, the most powerful people in the world, but Teva itself was Me'Ever Echad V'Avram Me'Ever Echad. Avram was against the entirety of nature. From his very beginnings, he conquered what nature should have dictated, growing up in a house of Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And his later actions and accomplishments also superseded nature. Hence, he warranted the title Avram HaIvri. And in that sense, we all have to learn from Avram HaIvri. There are many obstacles in our path towards becoming Talmidei Chachamim Muvhakim. Our time and concentration are divided by the many, and taxed by the many activities going on around us, which are good, and we're supposed to be engaged in them. But when a person comes to the Beis Medrash, he has to leave them at the door. We have a coat room, even if you don't have a locker. You can talk to them. When a person's in the Beis Medrash, Hu Me'Ever Echad, and the whole world, and not only the whole world, Teva, is Me'Ever Echad, because nature should dictate that a person should have a very difficult time learning the Beis Medrash with so many things going on. So in order to come into the Beis Medrash, you have to leave everything on the other side, in the way of Avram HaIvri. But please don't misunderstand me. I don't mean to say that when we have to strive for more, we have to negate what we've accomplished in the past. If it's important for a person to have a will and a craving to always want more, it's equally important for a person to feel confident and proud of what he's accomplished until now. The Mishnah says in Maseches Avos, Eza hu asher hasameach b'chelko. And many Mefarshim understand that to be referring not only to monetary wealth, but to spiritual accomplishments as well. We have learned by Asmada in the morning. We have mastered the shir of our Rebbe, and in some cases acquired his Derech HaLimud. And we are Moser Nefesh to be here at night. And it is Mesiras Nefesh. But we can't be satisfied with just that. We can't be complacent with that, just that. We have to always want more. And this is critical not only in our own Avodas Hashem and Limud HaTorah, but in enhancing the environment here in the yeshiva. We all want an atmosphere which forces us to grow. We all want an environment which propels us to be as productive as we can. And to a very large extent, what comprises and establishes the atmosphere of the yeshiva is the Talmidim. If we want an atmosphere which will help us grow, then we have to contribute to that atmosphere. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva vayelech Charana. Asks Rashi, why does it have to say Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva? We knew where he was. Last week's parsha. Just say vayelech Charana. Magid lecha sheyetzias hatzadik me'oso makom ose roshem. The presence of a tzadik is felt in his surroundings. It's a very nice lesson. But why wait till Yaakov Avinu to teach that to us? In Parshas Lech Lecha, we learned of the historic departure of Avram Avinu from the city of his birth. And there's no mention, the yetzias hatzadik me'oso makom ose roshem. And in Parshas Toldos, Yitzchak moves from place to place. Again, no mention of Yetzias HaTzadik Me'osa Makom Osa Roshem. Why wait till here when Yaakov leaves Beersheba Be'yeh Charonah to teach us this lesson? And Avnei Shoyam explains, because over here there's an additional element. It's not only an Avram Avinu who personified Chesed, excelled in Hachnasas Archim, who can affect those around him. It's not only a Yitzchak who's a wealthy businessman who can impact on his surroundings, but even a Yaakov who was sitting and learning in the corner. The Ish Tam Yoshev Aholim who can influence those around him. If we want an environment that encourages us to learn Bahasmada, then we have to learn Bahasmada to establish that environment. If we want an atmosphere that exudes Yirah Shamayim, then we have to exude Yirah Shamayim. Are there other factors that go into comprising the atmosphere of yeshiva? Undoubtedly. But as the Gemara says, Ein Hadavar Toloi Elabi. Could we attribute it to other causes? Of course. But we have to do our part. We have to do what we have to do. So let me conclude by first commending the Talmidei Yeshiva on establishing an atmosphere and an environment which does encourage and sponsor growth in Torah and Yirah Shamayim. But I challenge you also to not be satisfied with just that. To have extravagant dreams of finishing Masechtas. Not Masechta, Masechtas, many, of mastering areas of Halacha, Brachas, Kriyashma, and do more and more. And that will not only affect you positively, but the entire yeshiva. So, Rabbi Yisrael, may we be zoche to learn Torah together, to grow in Torah together, and most importantly, to cultivate within ourselves that she'ifa to want to grow even more in Torah and in Yerushalayim.